knows no levels. I see where I am going. And I see where I have been.
Jackie Benson providing our music this morning, playing at the Linda in Albany tonight. 8 o'clock, thelinda.org, and you can find out the entire playlist by going to wamc.org. And hey, while you're at wamc.org, you can help out with the lockbox, but we'll get to that in just a second. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the program. We have a lot going on today. We have a busy, busy morning, so let's get to it. Times Union columnist Chris Churchill joins us. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Rosemary Armeo is here, investigative journalist extraordinaire.
Hello.
As she chuckles. And Dean of the College of Emergency Preparedness, Homeland Security, and Cybersecurity at the University at Albany, Bob Griffin. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Joe.
Very nice to have you with us. WAMC's Alan Shartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
I'm here.
Excellent. And good morning. Okay, so let's get to the busy part here of setting up the table, because we are $19,741 away from being at the halfway point in the lockbox, the halfway point in the drive.
Which is extraordinary.
To make our lockbox goal, the entire goal.
We all know, Joe, what we have to do here. With everything that's happening, Rudy Giuliani, who some people think may be indicted now, or the President of the United States disassembling before our very eyes, or Turkey going into Syria, and each of those things is something that our listeners need to have. But we also need to have the money to run the radio station. You've done remarkably well, everybody out there. People have put all kinds of money into the lockbox, and we are so appreciative. And although we don't say it enough, thank you. Now, what I want to say, and this is real important right now, is the more we can do today, tomorrow, and Friday, the more the closer we will be to a one-day fund drive. And we'd really like to have a one-day or part of one-day fund drive. And that's going to mean that everybody who really cares about it, who really wants to make a difference, will try to make that difference and put something into the lockbox today. You can be as generous as you can, or if it's $5 you can do, that's great. If it's $1,000, that's great too. Whatever you can do, do it now, and we'll make it. So here's what, Joe. We have had a second chance. Now, in life, you don't get second chances, right?
No.
You're
very
right.
Rarely, anyway.
You're quite right, Joe, in saying no. And that is our wonderful people from yesterday, Chris and Larry Karsman of Jupiter, Florida. You will remember, folks, because everybody thinks we always make them. We didn't make it. We didn't get their $5,000. They said, okay, one more chance. And so today, Joe, how much do we have to get to the $500,000 mark?
$19,741.
So in other words, we need $20,000, about $20,000, and then we can go from there. The more money we raise, the less we will have to take up with a fund drive. Now, I have to say, there are a lot of people who write to me and say, will you shut up? We love the fund drive. It's part where you get to know everybody. We get to know Selma. We get to know Joe. We have a lot of fun, but not this time. This time we need everybody to do everything that they can. So let's make Chris and Larry Karsman of Jupiter, Florida happy, and everybody get to a phone at 1-800-323-9262. This is passion, folks. 1-800-323-9262, or go to WAMC.org. Joe?
And we will let you know how we're doing as we go here. This is absolutely paramount. If you'll think, from the very beginning, we wanted to get to halfway in the fund drive in our lockbox. We can do that this morning. By the time we're done at 10:30 this morning, all you have to do, and we have $5,000 riding on it, all you have to do is call 1-800-323-9262, go to the computer, WAMC.org, go to your device, WAMC.org. We are now actually, if you think about it, it's $19,500 now, Alan. So
yep.
$19,500, and I just want to highlight your point again about, so everything that we make now, we don't have to make on Monday morning. So today, tomorrow, Friday, even the weekend, we don't have to make that during the fund drive, which means we'll get back to regular programming, and God only knows what's going to be happening on Monday and Tuesday.
Or as they used to say at the Grand Ole Opry, y'all come.
That's right.
So Chris and Larry Karsman of Jupiter, Florida, have put five big ones into the, as Ray Graff would say, into the pot. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I just want everybody to understand how much money $5,000 is. Try to put $100 in 20s into your wallet. You may not make it. Try to put $5,000 in. It's impossible. That's a lot of money. For somebody to sacrifice that kind of money has to indicate there's a love of the radio station. It's that simple. So if they can do that and set that example, can everybody do something, anything right now at 1-800-323-9262. Right, Joe?
That's right. 1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org, and whatever you can do. We desperately need your help, and we can get to the halfway point in the drive this morning. That's right.
And Joe, you'll let us know how we're doing?
I have my trusty calculator and tracker up.
Great.
I don't normally have a tracker on my computer unless I'm following Santa on Christmas Eve. I like having this tracker. WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262. And we have people standing by. We have our wonderful staff standing by. They're ready to take phone calls. We're ready for the dam to burst and to make this money to get the $5,000. And most importantly, to get us back as soon as possible to regular programming when we start the drive on Monday morning.
Without question. And I don't think anything extraordinary is going to happen today, Rosemary, like happened yesterday when the governor used a certain word and we got into virtually every paper in the United States and around the world, I suspect.
Yes, I heard about that.
It was unbelievable.
Everyone heard about that. Who knew that Andrew Cuomo and Gina Rodriguez had something in common?
And we're watching Rosemary very carefully, so there's no repeat.
Yeah, I'm watching her too, That's right.
I have never said that word.
No, of course not. No, but can you understand
the passion?
But you
say other bad words.
I do. I like bad words.
But Rosemary, can you understand the passion that he's feeling about anti-Italian discrimination and what the history of all of that was, as outlined in that brilliant article in the New York Times?
I love that article. Read it to my mother, who, of course, is first generation. But no, I do not share his passion. I think Italian Americans have come a far way, and they are even governors of states. I don't see, and he said that, you know, it's not the same as anti-Semitism or what blacks face in this country.
Right. That's true because, you know, it is interesting, though, that many Italians in the United States, and particularly in New York State, are Republicans. What do you make of that, Rosemary?
Yeah, they're also, they don't have great relations with blacks. They tend to be racist in places like Cleveland, where I worked. No, I'm not particularly proud of the ethnic background.
At the risk of being crass, let me just say that, you know, just think, we were on the interview that Alan did with Governor Cuomo was covered by just about every news outlet in the country, mm-hmm. certainly in the state,
and maybe the world.
And it was, yeah, it was the word shot around the world.
You know, we got 25,000 hits on our computer,
and that was early. I mean, that was
25,000 hits. We never get anything like that, but that was huge.
And to hear it, so I just wanted to say, you know, I'm not supporting the content at all of what he said. However, you know, that we're continuing to have the governor on, and that's why we have him on, and breaking these stories and talking about this stuff and at the center of the conversation. And that's your radio station, and we would hope you would support it.
Yeah, and you, by the way, you choose WAMC by putting something in if you can. The governor, after 8 years of really not talking to me, he was mad at me for something, chose us to be on a regular basis. We're not the only ones. He has Brian Lehrer in New York City, and I think something in Central New York, I'm not sure. You know, he's been unbelievable. And yesterday we saw what the power of one governor saying one word could be.
Absolutely. All right, we have $19,000 to go. WAMC.org, WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262.
I'm counting on you, everybody. I'm counting on you. This is Alan. We all made the station together. Let's get it done. Let's get it done this half hour. We can do it if you just go to a phone, 1-800-323-9262, and you feel the passion.
Let us, for the moment, go to what is happening in the world, and we'll, of course, talk about the debate last night. And while you are busy going to, you can go to your phone and pledge while you listen. It's very easy. You can do all these things at one time.
Yeah.
So we have the debate last night. There were 12 candidates on that stage. I don't know about you all, but it seemed like a lot, and it was, and it was hard to wrangle, and also hard to define a policy in Syria in 45 seconds, but they tried. Senator Elizabeth Warren, who said his stream of plans have propelled her to the top of the Democratic presidential field, came under sustained attack for the first time during a raucous primary debate Tuesday in Westerville, Ohio, that revealed Democrats' ongoing public struggle to define their beliefs and choose a standard bearer to take on President Trump. Warren faced direct challenges from several of the 11 other candidates on stage who took her on over her policies, her fitness to serve as commander-in-chief, and her willingness to question the motives of Democrats who support less transformational ideas. Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar took turns criticizing Warren over her support for Medicare for All and her pursuit and her purist approach, to populism. We're competing to be president for the day after Trump. Our country will be horrifyingly polarized, even more than now. After everything we've been through and after everything we are about to go through, this country will be even more divided. That from Mayor Pete. Alan, go ahead. What was your overall take on the debate?
I was very disappointed, to be honest with you. From what I saw, I just think this is the time for Democrats. As my mom used to say to me, hold your tea and mind your beat, meaning hold your tongue and mind your business. I think there is a point, even in debates, when you have to do it right so that you don't throw the baby out with the dirty water. And I think that's what's been going on. I think it's time for many of these people to say, okay, I did my part. It didn't catch fire. I'm going to move ahead and move aside so that we can get on with this. Now, I think the other thing that's interesting is we're hearing a whole bunch of other names of people who might come in. People like Mr. Bloomberg, people like Hillary Clinton, believe it or not. I hear them.
No.
Don't say never.
I get it. But the utterances come basically from them and from the people around them.
And Bloomberg yesterday of putting the editorial in the Washington Post this morning, and it certainly sounds like he's interested.
I call Bloomberg the roadrunner. In that he has always wanted to be president. And he goes around and he asks all of us. I've been asked. A lot of people have been asked about this. And then he runs like crazy up to the chasm, and then he goes, screech! And he stops. Hey, you don't get anointed in this business. Either you run and you take your chances, or you don't. And that's his problem.
Those other names are all about Biden, right? I mean, those people are looking at the race because they're figuring out that Biden is weaker than people thought he was going to be.
Yep.
And if you know, but the corollary to that is that Biden's poll numbers haven't moved a bit. He may seem weak to the pundits and to the people who are watching from the sidelines, but his poll numbers are steady. I mean, he's been at pretty much 30% since day one, and he's pretty much still there now. So.
Yeah.
I don't know if that window is really there for a Mike Bloomberg or a Hill.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know either. You know, Chris, you make a very good point, as you always do.
The other thing, well, go ahead.
No, you make a very good point.
Say it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
As you always do, we're so happy that you're with us. But I have to say,
No, here.
But I have to say that this is very disappointing. I said on the panel yesterday, I wonder if anybody remembers it, that they were going to have to go after the leader now. And the leader has changed. So now we have Elizabeth Warren, and they pound her on how she's going to pay for Medicare and the rest of it over and over. Four times they asked her the same question. Fair question once. But what do you think you're doing here?
She wouldn't answer it, though. She was very evasive, and I thought that was probably her weakest moment, the fact that she just wouldn't come
out. As if she did not anticipate that would be asked of her.
Oh, she did.
Alan, you are a wonderful pundit, but it didn't take a seer to know that she was going to be attacked yesterday.
No, I was.
As the leader.
I was right.
And that this is her weakest point, and she didn't have an answer. I'd say the same about Biden, who gave a wishy-washy answer about his son. Oh, he didn't do anything wrong, but he'll never do it again.
I agree with that.
Debate moved everything. If the winner of it, to me, was plainly Amy Klobuchar, who was incisive and sharp, and she was great, and it won't do a thing. It's not going to move the polls. I think we watched that last night, and my son messaged me saying Trump is going to win.
Do we have
it doesn't change anything.
I think it does matter, though.
Do we know what the number
debate.
Is?
Do what
we
do
know
you mean?
What Klobuchar's number is?
It's under 5%.
Yeah, it's like 3 or 4%.
Right, so being in the debate didn't mean anything.
Well, I mean, Klobuchar and Mayor Pete, to a lesser degree, are both playing for that Biden thing, too, right? They want to be the ones positioned to take his votes if he fades. The problem that all these people have is that Biden is basically his support comes from the working class, poorer side of the party. And I just don't think that Mike Bloomberg or Amy Klobuchar or Mayor Pete are really like well set up to be the voice for those people.
You know about the billionaires? It's like winning the lottery. Everybody thinks they're going to win the lottery. That's how they raise all of the money, right? Everybody, there's a lot of respect for billionaires in this country. Sometimes it's deserved, sometimes it's not. I think Bloomberg ran the city of New York. He ran it fairly well. He became a good mayor. We know he's had governmental experience. Whether he gets in or not, I doubt he's going to get in because, as I say, he's the roadrunner. So I don't think he's getting in, and I think it's going to come down to the top three. And Bernie, I think Bernie's heart attack may have hurt him a little bit because I think a lot of the numbers that are going to Warren are coming out of Bernie's pot. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I think you're right. I do hope Bloomberg jumps into the race because I think we need another moderate voice there. I will note, though, that the roadrunner was never caught. I mean, so he never got stuffed into that pot. So it's an interesting comparison.
It is. We are going to take a break here. $18,400 to go to get to the halfway point in the fund drive. $500,000 and to fill our lockbox, which was our lockbox goal, $500,000.
We got to do better. Come on, folks. Come on. Joe's asking. Alan's asking. We're doing it because we have a passion for this radio station, as I know you do, too. So get to a phone, 1-800-323-9262.
$5,000 on the table if we do it. $5,000, 1-800-323-9262. We'll continue our discussion. We'll talk more about the debate, but do what you have to do, WAMC.org. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Chris Churchill, Bob Griffin, and Rosemary Armeo. We welcome your comments and concerns and thoughts on what is happening and what we're discussing this morning, which so far has been about last night's debate in Ohio.
Okay, Joe, how much?
$18,236 to go.
All right.
Just for those of you who may be joining us, we a long time ago set a $500,000 goal for our lockbox. We are $18,136 away from that now. And we need you. We have $5,000 on the table to make that. And we only have 55 minutes to do it in.
And by the way, super WAMC-er Molly Tabachnikov, who we hear from quite often, who we love, says, look, it's clear that she's unhappy with all of us, and says, I will put another $5,000 into this if you can make it.
Now,
that's not going to be easy, folks, because we've been sitting on our haunches for the first third of the program, so now everybody has to get to a phone. So now there's $10,000 on the table, Joe.
$10,000 What?
A dog.
What's a haunch?
Oh, you know.
Like a honey butt. Haunches. Okay, thank you for that, Rosemary. Very helpful.
Sorry.
Yeah, Rosemary, very helpful. 1-800-323-9262. So a $10,000, that's right, $10,000 challenge. And we need right now, and with the late returns coming in from
$10,000, folks.
Yes, $18,000 to go in the entire the filling of that lockbox. So let
get thee to a phone.
Get thee to a phone. That's right. 54 minutes to go. We have $18,000. Hurry, everybody. Hurry. Let's go. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. 1-800-323-9262. $10,000 challenge. $10,000 challenge.
I love it, Joe, when you say hurry, 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 because, you know, I always wonder whether we shouldn't get you a cane and a straw hat. You know, like
Barker.
You know. Yeah, Barker.
And I'll guess so your height and weight.
So God, what do you think mine is? So God bless Molly Trabotin.
We all know your height and weight. You tell us regularly.
So let's thank God for Molly Tabachnikov. Molly, you're wonderful, and thank you so much for doing this. And thank you, of course, to Chris and Larry Karsman of Jupiter, Florida. So now there's $10,000 on the table. We lost it yesterday, folks. You know, we don't make it up. We lost it yesterday. The Karsmans are giving us a second chance, but ladies and gentlemen, you don't always get a second chance. So here we have $10,000 on the table if you can do something.
Yeah, we lost it yesterday. We went to the governor. Weirdly, we lost momentum.
I can't believe that happened.
1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. $17,856 right now is what we need. We're in the 17,000 Z, so let's go. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-9262.
When you say let's go, do you feel it in your kishkas? Do you feel it in your...
In my haunches.
In your bowels. Do you feel...
Okay there.
Do you feel it? Do you really feel it, the passion here? Yeah, let's make it happen.
Anne says, Rosemary and Alan, what statistics can you cite when you say that Italian-Americans are Republicans and racist? Rosemary, you're not proud of your Italian heritage? Did I really hear you say that? I was born and raised in Rhode Island, a state which once had the largest percentage of Italian-Americans in the country. It is a Democratic stronghold. So is Connecticut, which I believe now has the greatest percentage of Italian-Americans. Please back up your comments with facts and statistics.
It has to do with registration, and if you think I have them at my fingertips, you're wrong. But there are many, many Italian Americans in New York who are Republicans. Just take it from me. You can look it up, but it's so.
Stating what's true does not mean I'm not proud of my Italian heritage. I simply don't agree with the governor that we're under attack. I even think the comment about Fredo was more about it was an insult, kind of a clever insult if you don't like the guy, on Chris Cuomo being a weaker brother. I think it had really nothing to do with the Italian heritage.
Well, I disagree with you. I think,
know you do. Casey Siler's on my side.
I'm the Jewish guy, but I can tell you, I've been hearing anti-Italian stuff growing up for years and years, bad jokes and all the rest of it.
And then that's all it is, though. It doesn't really, has impeded us in any way the way blacks face comments and actual discrimination.
I am hesitant to weigh in on this since I am not Italian, although
my
wife and many relatives are. Yeah. I do think there is a lot of anti-Italian bigotry, not so much here in New York. But I think if you go, you know, I went to school in Texas. I think if you go to the Midwest and places where Italian names are not at all common, I do think there are at least some pretty strong stereotypes about Italians.
Okay, I worked in Virginia, and the new director of the school board came on board, and the school reporter was sitting in the newsroom and said, I can't believe I work in a place where that director of the school board is named Vito. And I go, oh, Vito, that's my grandfather's name. It's my son's middle name. And she blushed and she apologized. Yeah, it's a stereotype, but it's not like what they hold against blacks.
Yes,
you don't get jobs, you don't get housing.
It is nothing compared to what black Americans have faced.
Correct.
And I don't think the governor is saying that. But
no,
I do
not.
Think, but we've never had an Italian president, and I do think that if there was an Italian candidate.
That's because his father didn't run, Chris.
I think
we
he
might
would have.
Have
I think,
Chris,
his,
I'd love
I
you
think
to be
the
able
vowel
to
at the end
sentence.
Of his name would have been a bit of an issue for some voters. I really do. What yeah. did you say, Alan?
He was just knocking me for interrupting.
Right, I was. Yeah.
And as far as I, you know, my Italian relatives are all Republicans, but I think there are Democrat Italians and Republican Italians. That's kind of what assimilation is. They kind of reflect the general population at this point. I don't think that they are, you know, are unusually Republican. Go ahead.
I mean, I'm part Italian, and
you've been sitting there quietly.
I didn't have a chance. And I also would like everybody to know. I thought Mayor Pete did a really good job last night, and I kind of moved
Is
the needle
Italian?
For me a little bit. I don't know, but I just thought
back to the discussion we were having. All right, go ahead.
No, he did do a good job. He was feisty for the first time. He had a little some barbs, and I think he probably needs to do that.
Well, he doesn't need to do it because what it does is it destroys any sense of togetherness on the Democrats' part.
Yeah, I just don't agree with this. If candidates have weaknesses, and Elizabeth Warren revealed a real weakness last night with her inability to say that she's going to raise taxes, if candidates have a weakness, you better expose it now before the general election. I mean, that's the whole point of a primary, is for these candidates to think on their feet and show that they can handle a general election. And if the primary is all kumbaya and there are no divisions, you're not going to do that.
Well, the Democratic Party is not the Borg. I mean, in part, what we're doing right now is looking at the different wings and trying to figure out who would be the best candidate to represent as much of that big tent approach as we can.
Mm.
So I actually think it's
looking for somebody who can win.
But we all agree on that. So who's your candidate? You say somebody who can win. Who can win?
I used to think it was Biden, but I got to tell you, I was totally unimpressed with his show last night. I didn't think that he was sharp. I think he started off weak. I thought he was a non-player in the field. I think to me the strongest showing was from Mayor Pete, and that he was someone who I actually had sort of discounted because of lack of experience. I thought Warren repeated the same points over and over again, and I think that she had an opportunity to expand on some of her positions and chose not to.
Can I just bring the conversation? First of all, we are $16,000 away. We're making good money here.
But we don't have a lot of time.
We have about 48 minutes to do it in. 1-800-323-9262.
And there's $10,000 on the table. And Joe, I just got a note. That our friends Marilyn Bell and Lina Sherrill said, okay, we are desperate to make this. We'll add $2,500 to this. So there's now $12,500 on the table if we can do it.
To make $16,201. So
there
we are.
So if every dollar you put in is going to be matched if we can make this.
It will be soon. 1-800-323-9262. Everybody on a phone, everybody to a device. 1-800-323-9262 or WAMC. .org. What happened to Kamala Harris? Remember after the first debate when we were all talking about how great she was?
Yeah.
What happened? Because she was, I thought, the moment that turned me off last night was her going after Elizabeth Warren over the pledge on Twitter, which I just think is stupid.
Yeah,
because, first of all, let's forget the free speech thing just for a moment. But he's the president of the United States. If he doesn't say it there, he's going to say it someplace else. He's going to say it at a rally. He's going to say it. He doesn't have to be Twitter to say things that are incendiary and stupid.
Can you fill us in? Because there are those of us.
That was late in the debate.
Yeah. So she was on Kamala Harris's. Ever since the impeachment inquiry started, she has been, her big issue has been to have all of the other candidates sign a pledge, which I don't really know why anybody would sign any other candidate's pledge, but that's another story. And say, okay, we want you to sign a pledge and call for President Trump, call for Twitter to throw President Trump off Twitter. Because he has violated the policy of Twitter, which even that is questionable. But for that to be the main debate or the main question and concern, and then I thought, now I wish that Elizabeth Warren would have just said, oh,
Kamala, I think that's stupid. But instead, she gave an answer about tech companies and so forth, which was, you know, much smarter than my response. But I just thought, again, back to the question, what happened to her, where she had really good issues. We were coming out of the first debate with a lot of people saying, this woman could win it.
Because she had a great quip that dealt with the president, because she's very, very strong. But, you know, if you're going to have one strong one, you better be ready for the next one.
Well, in the next debate, she got carved up by Tulsi Gabbard, too, and that she has never really recovered from that. But she just, she's kind of been a non-entity in a lot of these debates. She's been just another face on the stage and hasn't really distinguished herself.
And I saw her interviewed, I think, on MSNBC while all this was going on last night.
Yeah, she's been all over.
I think she got sidelined by the fact that she did so well so fast that she thought it was going to come easily.
Could be.
And she now is grasping at lots of different issues. I like that she brought up reproductive rights last night, but I've never heard her talk about that before. So it seems like she's just grasping.
She was totally flat.
One last thing, you can address this too. I am really not impressed by the preparation of any of these guys.
That's what I was just going to say.
You know, Biden didn't have a good answer about Hunter, and Elizabeth didn't have a good answer about raising taxes. And go back to Kamala. She had no good answer when Tulsi Gabbard was bringing up perfectly reasonable things that have been all over the newspapers about how she was mean as a prosecutor and hurt black people. Why was she not ready with an answer?
I don't know. I mean, all of these things are just so easy to see. And the Biden thing especially is just, I don't understand why he doesn't have a better answer for this at this point.
Is there a better answer? That's
well, maybe there isn't. Maybe that's the problem.
Even if he said something like, look, you know, these races are hard. I knew that coming into it. It's especially hard when it's my family.
If he said, I made a stupid mistake?
Yeah, I think he should say it was a mistake. I mean, his son has basically said that, so I don't see what the harm would be.
What was his mistake? Did he really have anything to do with his son taking that job?
Yeah, are you telling me, first of all, why was Hunter there in the first place? He was there because he's the president's or would-be president's son. Somebody's covering their bets that out of 300 million Americans, you're going to get Hunter Biden? Come on.
Didn't he say, you know what, this isn't a good idea to have my son in this, and President Trump, you should get your kids out of the business too.
Yeah. Well,
Why didn't he say something like that?
There's the answer.
Yeah, there you go. You should work for the Biden campaign.
I know.
Hillary. We made a mistake, but it's nothing compared to what the Trump children did.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. We have...
How much?
$14,861. $861 to go.
We're not going to make it unless everybody does something.
We have $12,500 on the table. We cannot lose that. That's a lot of money.
Oh, boy. Palpitations.
1-800-323-9262. We'll let Alan work through his palpitations. We'll let you go and do what you have to do and help us make this money. We'll be right back after the short break. Ten minutes before the hour of 10 o'clock, 40 minutes left to make $14,431 in our lockbox. We have $12,500 that we have in challenge money to make that $14,431. So whatever you can do, it's desperate times call for desperate measures.
I would love to see this done in the next 10 minutes. We can do it in 10 minutes. Again, Chris and Larry of Jupiter, Florida have done their thing. And Molly Tabachnikov put $5,000 into this. And Marilyn Bell and Lina Sherrill of Boston Lake, New York, they put $2,500 into it. $12,500 if we can do it. I'd love to do it in the next 10 minutes as we go racing through the $500,000 mark and then on to who knows what. Friends, let's make this happen. Over to you, Dick, whatever your name is. Joe.
Okay. 1-800-323.
We sometimes call Joe that, but never on air.
I answer to it, but I'm just so used to it.
It's that I do David Justina in the morning, and over to you, David, becomes problematic. Yes.
1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. All right. So the other news to come out of the debate was right after the debate last night. Bernie Sanders teased it a bit and said, I'm going to be in New York City. I'm going to have a huge rally, and I'm going to have a very special guest there. Well, then we found out the first question that was asked in the spin room after the debate was, so who's the special guest?
Which is exactly
Don
what
Junior.
They wanted.
Right. Yeah. So AOC said apparently is going to come out and officially endorse Bernie Sanders. And then Ilhan Omar also said that she will be endorsing Bernie Sanders as well.
And also Rashida Tlaib.
Is it all three of the squad?
Yeah.
Is it just Tlaib?
Three of the four. Yeah.
Okay. What does that do for Bernie Sanders? Alan?
I don't think it does that much, to be honest with you. I mean, what a surprise. Look, he is the furthest to the left candidate. He is being endorsed by people who have that philosophy. And yet, his numbers are so far going down. So this is an attempt to turn it all around and to say, okay, I want some of what I gave to Elizabeth Warren, and I think that's where those votes went, at least in the polls. I want that back. And she's doing everything she can. He's doing everything he can to make that happen. This is what you do in a campaign, and I think he's doing it well. One thing is for sure, he is the most left of the candidates.
I bet I know what Trump is going to be tweeting about today.
What do you think?
AOC calling the shots.
Could be.
That plays right into his into his view of the Democratic Party that he wants Republicans to believe.
Well, I mean, in a way, though, it kind of you can wonder if Elizabeth Warren would actually even want these endorsements, because
exactly.
in a sense, it allows her to kind of say, well, that's crazy, Bernie. He's the far left.
That's a great point,
candidate, but. You know, one thing it does kind of help with, I mean, these women are young, they're women, and I think that could kind of boost Bernie up a little bit, the fact that he's, especially after the heart attack, that young people are still willing to take his side.
So the cynical side of me says that what they're doing is
you have a cynical side?
Okay. Just a little one. is actually, trying to lay claim to Bernie's mantle. Regardless of whether you support Bernie or not, with a heart attack, it sort of invalidates him, but it doesn't invalidate who gets to carry the flag for the far left. Mm. And I think it's a really interesting move coming when it does, because they're filling a vacuum before the vacuum really develops.
So do you think that Elizabeth Warren has a risk in that area? In other words, I think Trump is going to paint her as the next in line to be the socialist president of the United States, even though she's not. Don't you think that's a possibility that she has a risk there too?
Yes, absolutely.
She does, but having AOC and these other women endorse Bernie kind of isolates her or separates her from that a little bit.
That's true. It's true.
$10,800 to go challenge here.
We can do this.
We have 35 minutes, $12,000. So, right, anything you do now is essentially doubled.
Is WAMC worth $3 a day? Because if it is, that's $1,000. And we'll do it any way you want. You can be a sustaining member. We'd love to have you join us, because right now we are desperate to get to that point, and we'd love to get there by 10 o'clock. So if anybody can do something right now, I really want to ask you to do it. And you'll walk up to me in the street and say, when you asked, I did it. And I appreciate that.
$10,800, $10,800, 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC, 1-800-323-9262. Jeff writes, why does no one speak about Senator Klobuchar? I am perplexed. The most electable Democrat, in my humble opinion, is Amy Klobuchar. Why does no one ever even mention her name?
That was the first thing I said. I think
she had
the strongest night. I wish that her poll numbers were better. She is a moderate. She's from the Midwest. She's very reasonable. She's got really interesting policies. I like her a lot.
But they put a wrap on her. But they put a wrap on her early that she was mean to her staff. And for some reason, people ran with that. I thought it was crazy.
I mean, you know, she did handle it. She tried to make a joke of it, and I haven't heard it lately. But is that really, you think, what put her down?
Worse than
Kamala Harris putting black people in jail for trivial things, and worse than Biden setting up his son in business. It seems like such a it's not unserious, but it doesn't seem as bad a thing.
I wouldn't count her out yet. I mean, she's from Minnesota, which is a neighboring state to Iowa. If she does really well in the caucus and Biden doesn't do well there, I think she could be somebody who kind of
pick it up.
Who kind of emerges a little bit late in the game. But we'll see.
Kutchmud. I mean, how?
Kutchmud. Nobody's voted yet. We're handicapping. We're saying she's out of it already. But you know, we don't know. Maybe she'll do. She'll surprise everybody in Iowa, and then the narrative completely changes.
So, brother, does that mean that you dismiss the polls?
I don't dismiss the polls, but most of the polls are national polls, and there's nothing national about the way this race plays out. It's state by state. Most people seem to think Elizabeth Warren is going to win in Iowa and in New Hampshire, and then, you know, Biden kind of makes his play in South Carolina. But if it doesn't play out that way, if Elizabeth Warren loses to Klobuchar somehow in Iowa, which is a possibility, the whole narrative changes.
What do you think he's thinking right now about himself, about Biden, and saying, boy, did I blow it with not saying to my son, don't do this. This is bad for the candidacy.
I think Biden's sitting there saying that, you know, I could have done a better job, but I didn't do any damage to myself. And that's probably what his advisors were really looking for him to do, is not lose the position.
He does need to answer the question, though, because it's going to hang around all the way through the general election.
Of course. It will. The only way to get rid of it is to really, really say I did a bad thing. Though.
And I thought, I'm not sure that Elizabeth Warren...
No, I think not. I think he should be totally on the offensive on this. He shouldn't answer any questions. There's never been anything found. He should be on the attack against the Trump children. This is an attack on him.
He should be, but he should
also
say that it was inappropriate for his son to be flying around in Air Force 2 with him and going to business meetings. And he should say that it was inappropriate for him to handle our Ukraine policy while his son was involved over there. It's not that complicated, but yeah, and then he can pivot and say the Trump children are much worse.
I have to rethink my policy, my sense of this whole thing, because I agree with Chris.
Okay, I'm gonna let's clear the air for a second. We're gonna take a break. During that break, everyone's gonna go out and give us money. $8,681.
Now we're getting close.
$8,681 to get to the halfway point in the drive. We have $12,000 in challenge money. $12,500 in challenge money. $8,681. $8,000 now. Actually, $8,000. $7,983 now. See, if I keep going, we'll be there. But let's take a break. When we come back, see the power that you have, folks, in doing this. WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262. You do your thing. We'll do our thing. We'll meet back here in a few minutes. I don't wait for anybody, and I know that nothing is free, so I'm going to prove my worth. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Jackie Benson is providing the music for our bumpers this morning, and she's playing at the Linda tonight at 8 o'clock. You can find out more by going to thelinda.org, thelinda.org. Welcome back. We are trying to get to our lockbox goal. We have $12,500 on the table to do that. 1-800-323-9262. And to go, we have $5,000.
Oh, boy.
$5,004, but $5,000.
And let's remember, there's $12,500 on the table. 5, 5, and 2, 5, 2.5. That's a lot of money from very good people, and we so appreciate it.
Absolutely. So $5,000 in the next 20 minutes. We can do this, and we'll be at the halfway point in the drive and have filled the lockbox, and then we'll look to new horizons and new goals. 1-800-323-9262. But here we are with $5,000. Whatever you can do to take part of that, take a whack at it. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC, $5,000. And
come
we
on,
have a $12,500 challenge. All right. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. Let's go to some letters if we can. Sonia asks this question: how is the front runner defined? I realize the mainstream media create their own narrative, but dear panel members, please tell me how you all define a front runner. I'm confused given the fact that Bernie Sanders has effectively driven the platform of the Democratic Party over the last 3 years, has raised more funds, all from individual donors, has more than double the individual donors in more than more states than the closest candidate to him, and has 1 million volunteers on the ground. Serious question: on what basis do you each define a front runner?
Is this message approved by Bernie Sanders?
No. Look, the Sanders people are passionate and deservedly so. And they've worked really, really hard, and they are behind Bernie Sanders. But the answer is very simple. We've just been saying who's ahead in the polls. And if you watched what happened last night, they went from Biden bashing to a new candidate who is now leading the group. So So that's what it's about.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, the other candidates told you who the front runner was last night. I mean, they were going after Elizabeth Warren because they see her as the one who's starting to emerge.
But I think there's a tier of candidates, and this is to me, in responding directly to the letter, there isn't a science behind who's in a leadership position right now. It really is more of an art. But you look at Warren, you look at Sanders, you look at Biden, and maybe you look at Buttigieg, and I would have said Harris, but I think Harris is going to continue to decline. But I view all of them as having the ability to surge ahead in the polls.
I don't, but that's okay.
Okay.
Well, I just think there's got to be
you got to be wrong about something.
The person who surges ahead in the polls is going to be the person who can attract the segment of the party that didn't go to college, that's poor, and I just don't think Mayor Pete is that person. I don't think I don't know who it will be, but I just don't think Mayor Pete is that really.
Person. I
wonder
is
if Amy Klobuchar may not be either.
I'm sorry, Chris. I think the race is incredibly fluid, and that you could see changes and additions we've been talking about, and movement, and who is there,
except for the ones
at the lower tier. If I am going to use your term, yeah, I think it is.
It doesn't seem that fluid to me. It seems pretty stable.
Well,
I mean,
if Biden let's say something happens to Biden, and in the case of
more likely to happen to Bernie, but okay.
I don't even mean that. I don't even mean health. But you could use health. Anything. Who knows?
That could happen to any candidate, though.
Good, but then that makes the race fluid, doesn't it?
Yeah, but we're talking about at the moment. The polls. I just think the polls have been pretty stable, especially compared to, you know, say the GOP primaries when they had a whole bunch of candidates. People were flying up and going on.
But as you have noted, this all changes once there's voting.
Right.
Iowa,
it's a state by state thing.
Exactly. And it isn't just the state polls. It'll change the national polls. If whoever wins in Iowa, those numbers nationally are going to change because everyone wants to get on to a winner. So the polls, I think they're accurate. I just don't think they mean everything right now.
Do you know what the difference between winning and losing is? $3,639.
Is that what it is? $3,639. And, of course, there are just a few of those tickets left. Joe, you want to mention those? What tickets?
The Capitol Steps tickets?
That's the one.
Yeah, $150 for a pair of those. Capitol Steps. It's Friday, November 8th. I'm making this up. I don't know. I have it in front of me. It is Friday, November...
And so if you come on the wrong day...
Oh, it's November 1st. November 1st, 7:30 at the Egg. Capitol Steps at the Egg, Friday, November 1st.
Okay. Joe, if I could also give a different answer to the last letter... I also look and see who the Secret Service is starting to provide protection to, because that is always in my mind sort of one of those bellwethers of who they think is at most risk, and also who's leading in their minds in the polls. So that's another indicator for me of who's. Who's leading?
I want to say something about Cory Booker, who I think is in the low tier and is not going to make it at all. But he is such a compassionate and articulate and warm person. I'm sorry that he isn't doing better. He was kind of the school marm last night. Stop yelling at each other. We have to be nice to each other.
He was right about that.
He was right about that.
I mean, he could still be somebody, too. I mean, if you assume that Warren and Sanders are going to do well in Iowa and New Hampshire— In South Carolina, somebody could, whoever has a chance to emerge in South Carolina could be an alternative candidate, and Booker's probably one of those people.
I love what you said there, Chris. He could be somebody. You know, that's when you see somebody, when Roselle sees somebody come in a restaurant, says, I think that guy's famous. We should ask him if he's somebody.
The other piece about Booker that
$2,500, I'm sorry.
$2,500? Is smart about Booker, though, is that I don't think he's necessarily thinking all just about 2020. I think he's setting himself up really well for 2024.
Well, last night he seemed to be running to be vice president. I mean, the whole, hey, everybody, let's be nice, and calling Biden the statesman, and, you know.
Okay. It's not a bad role.
Well, it's not a bad role, but it's not really positioning himself to win this election.
But I'd want him at my funeral. 1-800-323-9262.
He plans to be there.
What do you got planned, Joe?
$2,400 to go. 1-800-323-9262.
We're close. Come on, everybody.
It's all on you. That's where it stands.
It's on you.
1-800-323-9262.
That's what my boy always said to me. It's on you, Dad.
1-800-323-9262. I'm trying to do math under pressure. Never a good thing. And and
why did your son say that to you, Alan?
For a lot of reasons.
Nice way to give Joe some space there.
Yeah,
I have to think
thanks,
about
Rosemary.
That.
Thanks, yeah. Rosemary. Gave me a little vamping.
Yeah. Wait a second, Chris, hold your hands up because Joe doesn't have enough fingers. We
that's right. Couldn't count to 21 if I wasn't naked. $2,184.
Oh, boy.
$2,184.
Come on, everybody. Now. Dive.
All right, everybody, go to a $2,184. Let's go back to the mail. Hey, says April, not a single question about climate change, considering the entire thing looked like a game show. It's just too boring to hear about candidates' proposed solutions to the greatest existential threat to civilization.
Right about
or
that.
Or are the only effective solutions too scary for the debate-watching public? I mean, the last debate was mostly on climate change, number one, but I do understand the point. I think the only person who really made a big point about it was Tom Steyer.
Yes.
Did.
Yeah. Mm. And again, this is part of the frustration.
As Alan grumbles.
Yeah, and this is part of the frustration with how the debate was set up, is that there was never enough time to really get into some of these really meaty subjects. And climate change is one. I thought the issue of Syria was also sort of passed by too quickly. Gun control got a little bit more, but I really didn't like the way the debate was set up.
And it's funny, healthcare got too much.
Right, and I hadn't thought about the idea of looking like a game show, but it really
no, it
did.
Really did. Yeah. And all it needed was on the middle of the monitors, like them having their names sort of printed, having them print their names. Joe. 1-800.
So, Joe, who put the money up again for this?
Oh, well, we have three people. We have Chris and Larry Carsman of Jupiter, Florida. We have Molly Tabaknikov of Pittsfield.
And
Marilyn Bell and Lina Sherrill of Ballston Lake for the $2,500.
Great point, man.
1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. $1,700 to go now.
Oh, boy.
$1,700.
Come on, come on.
All right. Listening in this morning, it seems clear to me how easy it is for Easterners to discount Midwesterners. Amy Klobuchar's reasoning is that she will bring the Midwest with her. As a transplanted Iowan, I'm beginning to support her more and more. The dream ticket is Amy and Corey.
Well, I said that she could, you know, Iowa is the place where she could really make a name for herself and launch herself into the race. But if she doesn't do well in Iowa, then I think she's done.
And then Teresa says, I lived in New York City while Bloomberg was mayor. He sold the city out to the real estate industry, pricing out the middle class by giving variances where even the Giuliani had not. Now there are giant empty behemoths owned by foreign tenants, quote unquote. He has the same arrogant autocratic tendencies that Trump does, although he's less crude and more intelligent.
So that's a win in my book.
You'll take that?
I'll take that. But you know, I think in defense of Bloomberg's record in New York, I actually think the city did very, very well under his stewardship. Not perfect, but I think he showed me enough that I think he's someone who I would consider to support.
$880 is what we need, ladies and gentlemen. $880.
Let's go. Let's
and
go.
And folks of all stripes. Yes. $880. Two observations about last night's debate, writes Mary.
The Democrats' monumental failure to effectively pursue the Electoral College. Cory Booker repeatedly called for unity among last night's debaters, which speaks to the need to heal the divisions within the country, but the rest of the crew seemed to brush this off. Mike says, do panel members really think any candidate endorsing a version of Medicare for All that excludes private health insurance can win? Independents with private insurance through employers and unions will vote Trump.
What's that telephone number? I'm so sorry, Joe.
1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. John writes and says, this format is unhelpful, the debate format, and distorting. Making a major decision based on them would be a mistake, but that's what we're doing. Each of these people has a body of work we should be referencing to make the best decision possible. Instead, we're relying on minutes on a TV show stage. Ridiculous. Well, it's hard not to argue.
It's one element. It certainly should not make a decision based on the debates. But seeing how they react to attacks, seeing how quick they are on their feet, that is certainly something I want to see in a president.
Yeah, but I agree with the point to a point. But none of them are governors. One of the things that's a little bit frustrating is that a lot of them don't really have extensive governing records. And it does make them a little harder to judge.
Yeah.
They're all senators.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I don't know. Mayor Pete, of course, the mayor.
Yeah, a mayor of a very, very small city.
Absolutely right.
You watch Elizabeth Warren being kind of peevish that she's being attacked. I can't believe someone says that I'm being punishing people. Well, no, come on. You expect that. You need a very thick skin to be a president.
There was a little emerging tension between her and Biden last night.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
That I thought was interesting. I mean, she said at one point, he said, I got you those votes. He kind of yelled at her, which was kind of not a great
moment. She responded with, I want to thank President Obama.
Yeah.
Come on.
And then later in the debate, she had a line, and you can interpret this different ways, but she said people shouldn't be profiting on their roles in government. And, I mean, that could be aimed at the Trumps. That could also be aimed at the Bidens.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Good point.
Well, I think Biden is very vulnerable.
Could be aimed at anybody, right?
Joe, I'm sorry for interrupting, but what's the number now?
1-800-323-9262 is the telephone number. Oh, well, we're still crunching here, Alan. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. We're almost there, but we need you. 1-800-323-9262. $12,500 on the table.
On the table.
Mabel. Yes. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. Hurry, please. We only have about 4 minutes before we go over.
4 minutes?
Yeah, 4 minutes.
1-800-323-9262. Wow. 4 minutes.
Maureen says, I like each of the candidates except Tulsi Gabbard, but think they should draft Sherrod Brown, need a centrist to beat Trump, pair him with Julian or Corey or Kamala.
I bet he agrees with that.
Yeah, he considered it but did not want to get into such a crowded field.
Oh, I got a lot of mail from him. I think he tried as hard as he could.
Susan says, I don't understand why there hasn't been any discussion about how Bernie did yesterday. I thought he was strong, clear, funny at times. We talked about that.
Yep.
I think he will do a great job in debating Trump if he wins the primary, as he has the courage of his convictions. Please don't write him off. We then go to Keiko, who says, please give me one good reason why you have not mentioned Andrew Yang. He is ahead of Klobuchar and Booker in some polls and even beats Harris and Buttigieg. He raised $10 million in the third quarter. He was declared one of last night's winners by the New York Post and CNN. I'm puzzled as to why you don't consider him a serious contender.
I think it's so important what the New York Post has to say about the Democratic race.
I really like Andrew Yang. I think he's kind of refreshing. I think Tulsi Gabbard is interesting, too. I know I'm in the minority, at least in this room, on that.
Yes, but,
you are, Chris.
While we're on that, let me just...
How much?
We're almost there, Alan. 1-800-323-9262. What does the panel think about the New York Times smearing Tulsi Gabbard the day before the debate? I think it's disgusting.
I do, too.
Says Al.
I thought that was your opinion, Joe.
She's from a faraway, remote place where there's not a lot of investigative reporting except by independents. And they have been looking into her campaign financing for some time. And the mainstream media, as you all like to call it, is a little bit behind on this. It's due, and in the primary is the time when we should be finding out about these scandals.
She does get smeared as really a Russian agent and as a Assad toady and all these kind of things. And that's just not fair.
It isn't. But her campaign finance stuff is totally open to discussion. Way more than Biden's stuff.
I'm sorry, but her position on Syria, how could it point
Two
to
minutes,
anything
hurry.
But? I mean, it's right. I mean, she's being painted by the words that she has used and the position she has taken.
Yeah, but her position is she's against regime change, right? Which is a position that a lot of Americans have, and unfortunately, she's one of the few politicians in our public life who actually voices that opinion. I think that's why she has a loyal following.
But Buttigieg was right in saying this is not regime change that we're talking about here. She mixed
but
those
that's been
two
American
together.
Policy, though. I mean, she did criticize what Trump did with pulling the troops out, but our policy has been regime change. I don't care what Biden or anybody else says. That's the truth.
One
final thought on this, though. I mean, what is her answer? I mean, we just pull out and then there's genocide and she's okay with that? I mean, nobody called her on her position on Syria, and I thought that I was yelling at the TV at that point in time because
I was yelling at the TV a lot last night.
Yeah,
why is she running for president? Why does she want to be president? That's my question.
Well, that's a good question for a lot of them.
I enjoyed the Ron Reagan Jr. commercial.
Oh. The one about atheism? Yeah.
I don't agree with it, but I like it. I thought it was funny.
How are we
okay.
doing?
Okay. Hey, we're done. We got to go. And we, right now, this does not include the challenge money. This does not include the $12,500. We have, we are at, in the lockbox right now, $502,159.
Okay. So we're really, with another $12,500 in there, we're getting there.
We're at 513.
If we can get, Joe, this is so important. If we can get another 100,000 over the 500,000 or 200,000 in the next 3 days, we will have a real potential for a one-day fund drive, and we need everybody to help.
Keep it going. WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262. Alan, thank you. Chris Churchill, Bob Griffin, and Rosemary Armeo, thank you. We'll be back right after this.